Hour number two, Stillman and Company, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. The Force Company crew, in for Jared today, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Guys, we're going off grid here. Breaking news.
Is it actually breaking?
It is breaking news from Ian Rappaport. One of the funniest signings I have ever seen in my life.
I'll read
it word for word. Because I saw this pop up and it made me literally laugh out loud. The 49ers have added tackle depth, signing offensive linemen Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Oh my gosh. Let's go.
To get both of them in one swing?
That is... Do you hate your offensive line? Are you trying to get Brock Purdy killed?
That is, I mean, I saw that pop up because it cut off. It said Andre Dillard and Nicholas. And I was like, if this is PT, the 49ers, like, did they not watch their tape?
Well, Dillard had a stint with the 49ers. That's the whole reason.
Right,
he
I guess
it
was, yeah.
With Ran, I think.
No. Dillard was only with the Eagles. He was a first round pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who am I thinking of?
Doesn't matter. Brunskill.
Yes.
Probably. Yes. I cannot believe that Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petit-Frere, first of all, got NFL jobs. Second of all, on the same day with the same team.
They hate quarterbacks. Someone's got a hit out on Brock Purdy, and this was their way of taking him out.
Somebody placed a bet on Brock Purdy under snaps, and they said, hey, guess what? Guess
maybe
who
it
you
was,
guys should sign?
Maybe it was Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's been making some headlines. Did you see this?
No.
I don't know if I should say it, but I'm going to. So there was an interview that a former Rams, I believe it was a defensive coordinator, went on. And he said when Pete Carroll was in Seattle, they put him in a hotel in Seattle with a furry convention.
Oh.
On purpose.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
Every time they go to Seattle, it's in correspondence with a furry convention.
That's pretty funny.
I think they said to spice up the away trips or whatever because like everything was just so like monotone the whole trip.
Whatever works, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe that the 49ers, at the same time, is just, I mean, the Titans, I think you can blame the last 2 years of offensive line play on those two guys specifically.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like 2 years ago, it was both of them. And then last year, PT, was it the Packers game when he just got absolutely bulldozed? Like, and the Niners at the exact same time say, hey, we don't want just one of them. We want both of them.
This is really going to help our line. We love this.
Yes. I mean, there's a chance neither of them make the roster, but that made me laugh just seeing that pop up. That not only did you sign Andre Dillard, but PT is back in the league too.
I'm at a loss of words. I really
so
am.
Funny.
I don't know how to describe my feeling right now. Like, this is so dumb. That's the best way to...
This is
the stupidest thing on planet Earth to allow a team to sign both of these guys that were both... turnstiles.
Yeah, Adam Vingan just texted me that tweet too. I cannot believe that they did that at the exact same time.
I hope Jared's listening from Cabo.
I think Jared wouldn't be able to speak. He'd be laughing so hard at this.
This would be the next hour of his show.
Yeah.
It really would.
I remember he told Ian when Jamal Adams signed in August that was a four-hour topic, that he could do a whole show on Jamal Adams signing with the Titans. Jamal Adams made it, 6 weeks with the Titans?
Yeah, played like two games.
This might be like all of today and all of Monday on PT and Dillard signing with the 49ers.
I mean, this is...
I love
this.
This
is groundbreaking.
It's funny because when I said breaking news, you guys thought that like the Titans had traded Will Levis
or
something.
Yeah, that's exactly
like that.
What I thought.
No, even better, the two worst tackles in the league signed with the same team at the exact same time. Andre Dillard, Nicholas Petit-Frere, back in the league, they're teammates again, and the Niners better hope that they don't get injuries on that line because if you have them bookending that line... Get ready to learn 2023 Tennessee Titans.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to add up how many they have, like sacks combined they have allowed. I cannot get it off the top of my head right now. I'm researching as quick as possible. Yeah. Like, think about that. Between the both of them, they have to easily have over, 30, 40 sacks, right?
Oh.
Allowed?
Within the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Within the last 2 years?
I mean, did Dillard play at all last year? I think he was on a team.
He was on the Packers last year.
Right, yes, he was on the Packers, but I don't think he played very much.
Yeah.
And PT was in and out of the lineup. It was like, all right, we can't play PT anymore. And then somebody else would somehow be just as bad. And they're like, all right, let's throw PT back in there and see what happens. Yeah, Jalen Duncan, John Ajukwu.
That's what you're going to tell me next. Jalen Duncan is signing with the Chiefs or something.
Oh, my goodness. The 49ers. Breaking news.
Wow.
Andre Dillard, Nicholas Petitfrere, both signing in San Francisco.
Now Ran has something to write about at CBS with his new job.
I wonder if Ran recommended them. If John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan called Ran, they were
These are my guys, man.
Hey, we need some tackle depth. You have any recommendations?
If I'm Brock Purdy, I'm at Trent Williams' house right now with a protein shake. You need a massage. Like, what can I get you, big guy?
A boombox and some flowers.
Just whatever you need, just relax, take it easy.
Hey, Trent, I need you for all 17 games this year. And if I'm Brock Purdy, I might be reconsidering signing that extension, being like, hey, if these are the kind of guys you're bringing in to protect me, maybe I want to hit free agency in a couple of seasons.
I did a little research here. 12 sacks for Andre Dillard when he was with the Titans, which is kind of crazy.
He got benched at the end of the year, though.
Yeah, and then Nicholas Petitfrere last season, from what it says online, 15 sacks. So, across all three seasons with the Titans, 15 sacks.
Okay, so close to 30 with the Titans for both those guys. Get ready, Niners fans. I have to text my dad. He's a 49ers fan.
How? That was really rude.
He liked the colors growing up.
Oh, it's fair.
Yeah.
Your family and the way you pick sports teams.
I mean, my dad's teams are Pirates, Blackhawks, 49ers, Mavericks. All four cardinal directions.
He's covering the whole
country. The whole map. So I have to text him, say, hey, if Trent Williams doesn't play all 17 games, Brock Purdy's not playing all 17 games. I can promise you that. Breaking news, again, if you just tuned in. The 49ers have signed tackle depth. Andre Dillard, Nicholas Petitfrere.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
Two birds with one stone. Got them both.
Just go ahead and sign Jalen Duncan while you're at it.
Jalen Duncan.
I mean.
John Ajukwu. Just bring them all in. Say, how can we, you know what, maybe this is what it is. Maybe the 49ers don't want to pay Brock Purdy, and they're like, we need the number one pick next year.
So let's kill him.
So let's recreate what the Titans did last year and bring in two worst tackles in the league.
Break down Nicholas Petitfrere real fast. 15 sacks out of those three seasons, 10 of those came last season.
Yeah, and he didn't even play the whole year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so. Just putting that out there, Niners fans.
I think we could block better.
I will say, and I like the signing when they made it because he's a starting level tackle, but Dan Moore allowed more sacks than that last year too. So fingers crossed that he is that was more of a Justin Fields, Russell Wilson problem than a Dan Moore problem.
I told you guys when this signing happened, my nerves went from, oh, they got a left tackle, but wait a minute.
He gave up the most sacks in the league.
He gave up the most sacks in the league.
But as Jared has said, and I agree with him, he was a starting left tackle on a playoff team, which those don't hit the market very often.
In the hardest, probably the hardest defensive division.
He's
got to
play
football.
Hendrickson. He's got to play Owe. He's got to play Myles Garrett, obviously.
But that Steelers team, though, they always have a really good defense that keeps them into games.
Right. Like, they're winning games 13-10.
The Titans, on the other hand, come on.
They're losing games.
We'll see.
42-13.
But I can almost guarantee Dan Moore will be better than both of the guys that just signed deals with the San Francisco 49ers. Again, Nicholas Petitfrere and Andre Dillard, Nashville's finest, are heading to the Bay. They will be 49ers next year. 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a break. Be right back. Talk some more Titans after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. We're bringing you up to coverage of Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Game one out in Knoxville. Huge series between the Vols and the Vandy boys. And again, pregame coverage with Andrew Allegretti at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. We're talking Titans, rookie minicamp starting today. We'll get some videos tomorrow. First look at this Titans rookie class. Did want to quickly just wrap up the breaking news that we got in the last segment that Nicholas Petitfrere and Andre Dillard in a package deal are going to the San Francisco 49ers. I know everyone's always said the 49ers have the best roster in football for the last, like, 3 years. Man, they're doing everything they can to end that signing.
It's not them anymore, for starters.
It's not. It's the Eagles now. PT and Dillard, they're a package deal. They go together, book and tackles, if you want a horrible offensive line.
I mean, we were just talking about it. The start of this was Dennis Daly.
Right. A texter on our text line said the 49ers also need to add Dennis Daly. Jeff chiming in with that.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff Hem.
I mean, you could complete the triple crown. You could have the infinity gauntlet of horrible Titans tackles if you can add Dennis Daly,
Jalen Duncan.
Jalen Duncan, and John Ajukwu.
Cam Ward's on the TV.
Be like Thanos.
You. There he is.
Oh, there he is on ESPN. Cam Ward, his first day in a Titans uniform. And we will get to see him tomorrow as, I believe, again, I think it's 12:30 to 1:30. Mm. We're going to get some stuff coming out of there from our reporters, so make sure to keep an eye on X during that time. But who else do we want to see? And I think, for me, it starts with the pass catchers. We talked a lot about Xavier Restrepo. I'm excited to see DK and Aya Manor, because DK, I think, he's more of the high-risk, high-reward kind of guy. Like, he's super fast, but you don't know if he can do all of the other things that come with being a wide receiver. Can he make contested catches? Is he a good route runner? I'd like to see what he's able to do working with Cam Ward. And Aya Manor, I thought that was a steal.
Yeah.
I think tomorrow is the first time we see maybe, okay, is this guy going to be more of a depth piece? Maybe like a Tajay Sharpe kind of guy? Or could this guy end up being your number two wide receiver by the end of his rookie year?
I think I'll go on the other side. Oladejo. I'm very curious to see what he looks like. That is the one pick I am very, very concerned about looking at it. I'm like, there were just better options at the time for an edge rusher, and you got probably the rawest of them.
Right.
Like, he just flipped to edge last season.
Yeah, he does not have a full season as a pass rusher.
And then I believe it was TD. I hope I'm crediting this correctly, but he was asked, like, when did you feel like edge was your position? And he's like, yeah, Senior Bowl is when it started to click. I was like, Senior Bowl?
Well, you look at the Senior Bowl clips of him in those, like, one-on-one drills, and you can see why people like his ceiling. Like, the speed and the power, like, you can see it, but it is very raw from Oladejo.
I just think he's too much of a project for a second-round pick. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But to each their own, and I'm curious to see what he looks like tomorrow or this weekend at rookie training camp, or mini camp, not training camp. I'm just curious to see how fast can he get off the line? How quickly can he get to the quarterback? Because you draft an edge rusher to hit the quarterback.
Right.
Can he do that effectively? I guess we won't find out a lot, but we'll find out kind of a general idea of what he looks like.
I was going to go a different direction if you had any comments.
Go ahead.
I'm more looking towards the secondary. You mentioned one-on-ones in the first hour. I'm really intrigued to see what there is for the secondary. I mean, right now they have, I think, what, the two starting corners is what, Roger McCreary and Jarvis Brownlee Jr.? Brownlee. That's it. I mean, obviously the Jerry Sneed has his own situation going on outside of football. But at the same time, you have, what, Gabe Judy-Lawley, Marcus Harris, Daryl Baker. I mean, you got a few guys that are their rotational cornerbacks. But at the same time, to me, there's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot of consistent depth that I'm really like, you know what, this is a secondary I can really trust.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's an undrafted guy who has gotten a lot of headlines. I think there's some off-the-field stuff with him. Jamari Harris from Iowa. From what I've seen, I think he was a talent that deserved to be drafted, but I think there were some off-the-field concerns. He was a second-team All-Big Ten player last year at Iowa. Had 27 tackles, 3 interceptions, a touchdown, started 10 games. From what I've seen, again, it's not like I've sat down and watched Jamari Harris play football a whole lot. Iowa didn't end up on my TV very often. But
why not?
From what I've seen, this dude has the talent to make this roster. It's just going to be whether all of the other stuff that comes with it follows him. The other undrafted guy that I want to keep an eye on, and similar to Oladejo, you're probably not going to see a ton from the defensive line. The offensive line is not like they're in pads. But Brandon Crenshaw Dixon from Florida, 6'7", 316 tackle. They did the, I mentioned earlier, they did the like first day of school video. If you go watch that,
That dude just looks like a man among boys. He is gigantic. And he was a good player, started 38 games at San Diego State, and then this past year was at Florida. He appeared in all 12 games, gave up no sacks last year for the Gators. So, guy played SEC football. He's got the size, 6'7", 316. I think it's a good project. You get him undrafted. I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but maybe you stash him on the practice squad, build him up. Maybe that ends up being a guy. But I think those are the two, outside of Restrepo, those are the two undrafted guys that I'd have my eyes on tomorrow.
Mm.
Go ahead, Connor.
No, I was just saying. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, well, to your point about the DB you were talking about had the off-the-field issues, I mean, just looking at stuff and just reading about him, it seems to be that he fits that Denard Wilson identity.
Aggressive
headhunter. The only downfall, looking at some of the draft reports, scouting reports here, that he just relies heavily on just arm tackling, which, you know, for the Titans' sake, that's a little concerning because they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns last season.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to have some depth there to where he can be not just a one-trick pony, but be multifaceted on the defensive side of the ball.
And neither of those guys, I would say, are going to make the team. But again, if you can get him on your practice squad, and who knows how they can develop over a couple of years. But you're right. The secondary, I was talking with TD, I think in December or something like that, and we were just saying how cornerback is a group that you feel locked in. Like, you've already got your starters. You've got depth there. You feel good. Because at that point, you thought you were going to have a fully healthy L'Jarius Sneed. You thought Awuzie was going to be back. That was kind of a shocker to see him get cut.
Mm.
Obviously, Roger McCreary in the nickel. And then Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Daryl Baker. Like, that's five really good cornerbacks, at minimum serviceable cornerbacks. Now, Awuzie is gone. Who knows with Sneed? Looks a lot thinner over there.
Yeah. And you need depth. That's where I think, you guys answer this question for me. Is Kevin Winston participating in rookie minicamp, or is he still recovering from an ACL?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
He's obviously there, and he's probably in meetings, but I don't think there's any reason to rush him.
Yeah.
He did run his 40.
Yeah. Like, at the end of Penn State's season, he had an opportunity to come back and play, but he chose not to just get ready for the draft. So, I mean, yeah, he participated in all the draft stuff. I wouldn't see why not.
I'd assume he's a full go for training camp and probably even before that, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe rookie mini camp, maybe they hold him out just to...
I'd say one or two drills.
Yeah.
I just plug him in one or two times. I mean, there's nothing that hurts that.
Because
right?
I think that doesn't help your cornerback room, but that helps your secondary for sure.
Right, and it just gives you more depth overall back there because you do have Amani Hooker and Xavier Woods back there, who Woods... He played, 17 games last year? I think he played the most snaps in the league last year. But Hooker is in and out of the lineup. He has been since he got drafted. So you never know. Winston could be relied on earlier than a lot of people would expect. Back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Justin from Greenbrier, going back to PT and Dillard going to the 49ers, says, Brock Purdy needs to be dressed in a 49er-themed Matador outfit complete with cape so he can ole all the defensive ends that will be charging him down like bulls. It's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe they signed both of them at the same time.
That is Titans fans everywhere are laughing about that.
All of the comments on like the Rap Sheet tweet and the Schefter tweet are just Titans fans laughing. So funny. I can't believe Jared's not here for this. Jared, I think there would have been...
Let's call him.
There would have been probably 30 seconds of just dead air of Jared laughing into his microphone seeing that.
Let's call him.
I love it.
Straight from the beach. Straight from Boca Raton.
Thoughts on PT getting another chance in the league?
Well... He's hijacked our show before. Let's just have him hijack his show since we're hijacked.
That is true. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Skyler on our text line says, the Titans need Gunnar Helm to take over that tight end one role. We'll talk about Helm coming up next in that tight end room. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Accurate at Hermitage Golf Course, is on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. We're talking tight ends on the other side. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
Did you see anything in particular that kind of accounted for his huge year? Didn't do too much the first 3 years there in terms of production, but... or some of the things he did particularly well that final year? Helm.
Oh, Helm. Yeah, you know, he was another guy that just continually got better, too. He was a former receiver in high school that made the transition to tight end at Texas. And I think that was part of the, you know, you're looking for these guys that continue to get better. Like I mentioned with DK and with Helm, they got better every year. And he had a big season last year. Those are the traits that you look for, and that's what you hope to continue here when they get to the league.
That was Titans GM Mike Borgonzi talking about Gunnar Helm, the rookie tight end out of Texas. Going to get our first look at him tomorrow in rookie minicamp. Starts today. Media availability is tomorrow. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt filling in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company. What does the Titans tight end situation look like? We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday show about how tight end was, it was a position where the Titans clearly needed an upgrade, but just didn't have the draft capital to go get somebody who would be significantly better than Chigakonkwo or Josh Wiley. And in free agency, there really wasn't anybody out there. Like, Evan Engram, I think, was probably the best tight end available on the free agent market, and I don't know if that really moves the needle all that much for me. But Gunnar Helm, coming out of an SEC school, a guy who I know people have talked about, he doesn't have any really elite traits. Like, he's not super big, he's not super fast, but he just gets open and catches the ball. I'm wondering if that's what the Titans need. Like, Chig and Wiley are super trait-focused. Like, Chig is fast and Wiley's big. Could Helm just be the guy who finds the holes in the defense and ends up being the best friend for Cam Ward at the tight end position?
Yeah, I've mentioned this before. To me, Gunnar Helm is the... Normally, you want a veteran tight end to be the safety blanket. Gunnar Helm is that, but as a rookie. I've watched his tape at Texas this past season. He just finds himself open in the flats and was Quinn Ewers' just safety net. And, like, he's one of those tight ends where if you need to throw something over the middle right behind the linebackers, Gunnar Helm's your guy. You're not going to get – hopefully Cam Ward is not Derek Carr and throws hospital balls over the middle and get your – you know, wide receivers hurt.
Apparently Shador does now, too.
Yeah, that we're discovering that on Twitter as we speak. But, you know, Gunnar Helm, he showed up in big games for Texas last year when they were top 25 matchups. I think against Michigan last year, I think stat line was 7 for 98 and a touchdown. Like, that, you can't get anything better than that. And don't get me wrong, like, Michigan had a pretty solid defense last year.
Can I give you a Fireball Hot Take Friday take?
Sure.
Yes, it's Fireball Hot Take Friday. Connor, what's your hot take?
Gunnar Helm will be tight end one at the start of the season.
I don't hate it. I would probably lean by the end of the season, Gunnar Helm will be tight end one. But
that doesn't make it a hot take.
No, yeah, I agree. That's more of a lukewarm take.
He Frazier stole the words out of my mouth. And now I can't speak. A rookie quarterback's best friend is a tight end. And I think a rookie quarterback and a rookie tight end developing together is what you need. I think Gunnar Helm, granted he is not an elite level developing tight end, but I think he is the right kind of tight end for Cam Ward to have to be a safety blanket. And that's why I think he will jump Chigakonkwo and jump Josh Wiley in the depth chart and become tight end one. I think he will be kind of a goal line tight end safety blanket guy. You know, Cam Ward doesn't have his first read open, doesn't have his second. Oh, look, there's Gunnar Helm, safety blanket. Pick up maybe 5 or 6 yards on a dump off. I just think Gunnar Helm is that kind of player, and I think that's why he'll be kind of a solid piece coming forward.
I'll say this about Gunnar Helm. If I had to give a player comp for him, I'd go with Green Bay and a guy like Tucker Kraft. I feel like that's probably the best player comp.
I could see that.
Because, like, that's how Green Bay plays. They use the tight end a lot. If it's you shed a block and you have your tight end out in the flats, I could easily see the Titans doing something like that.
And if he's Tucker Kraft, I think Tucker Kraft would be an upgrade over Chigakonkwo or Josh Wiley. Like, both those guys, you know, it's like just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. It's like every time Chig and Wiley go 3 straight weeks going like 1-2 catches for 17 yards, they have a big game or they make a big catch and you're like, oh, okay, maybe they can end up being the guy. I'm kind of ready to just be done with.
I mean, when I say Chigakonkwo, what's his best trait?
Speed.
He's fast. Can he catch a ball? Nope.
He used to be able to.
Can he catch a wrench?
I might have said this before.
Can he dodge a ball?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. I think I've said this before. I can name the moment where Chigakonkwo, where it started going downhill. And it was a preseason game. After his rookie year. His rookie year, he had all that promise. He had the big play against the Chiefs. He had multiple big games, and everybody's like, wow, we got a steal in the fifth round. We found our tight end. And in the preseason game against Minnesota, he had back-to-back drops where they just kept trying to feed it to him to give him some confidence before they pulled him. This was in, like, the first quarter. And he dropped back-to-back passes, and I was like, uh-oh. And I don't know if he ever got his confidence back after that.
No. I mean, there were multiple times last season where he just had dropped passes in the end zone. Wide open for a touchdown, couldn't hang on.
Or, he had the great catch in week one.
Yeah.
Before the shovel pass heard round the world from Will Levis.
The beginning of the end. The first of many.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when the Titans drafted Chigakonkwo, there were a lot of player comps to Jonnu Smith, right?
Yeah.
I'm not far-fetching that.
I don't think he's as big as Jonnu, but yeah, like I think it was the same type of player.
Because I remember in that draft, the Titans passed up on Isaiah Likely out of Coastal Carolina, and I was so upset by it because I think if the Titans were to be a step ahead of everything, Isaiah Likely would have been a perfect fit for this offense. And yeah, of course, they're not thinking, you know, two, three coaches down the line and three or four GMs down the line that they're going to go grab Isaiah Likely before all this happens, but I just think getting a guy like Chigakonkwo, sure, there was some upside, but Isaiah Likely was, in my opinion, a proven talent out of Coastal Carolina.
I still get mad about the, was it the 18 draft? Yes, because that, oh no, 17 draft, the 2017 draft. The Titans had two firsts and two thirds. They took Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson. In the third round, I knew the Titans needed another wide receiver and another tight end. Guess who I wanted? Cooper Kupp and George Kittle. Guess who they took? Taywan Taylor and Jonnu Smith. Not that Jonnu was bad.
I like Jonnu.
But
Jonnu did his job.
Right. Jonnu, I think, has one of the top five most memorable moments of the Titans run from like 16 to 21. That's with fair. The one-handed catch in the corner of the end zone against the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
I think the Raymond touchdown a couple plays later is probably up there too. The Logan Ryan pick six.
Yep.
And then, you know, probably a couple of Derrick Henry runs are in there too.
What about the Derrick Henry jump pass?
The jump pass, yeah. And then the 99-yard touchdown against the Jaguars. Like, I think those
are perfect passer rating, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
He does.
Those all kind of fall in the same for me. But, like, Jonnu Smith, you got to give him credit. He made that catch that really...
I mean, he did his job, especially following up Delanie Walker. I mean...
Right.
He was serviceable.
And he had a big year with the Dolphins this year.
Yeah.
He was the one trying to help Tyreek Hill when he was getting arrested heading to the stadium.
he's a role model, for sure.
And Gunnar Helm doesn't have to be George Kittle or Travis Kelce. If he could be Jonnu Smith, I think that would be huge for the Titans. To just give Cam Ward an above-average tight end option. Because we saw how important Delanie Walker was for Marcus Mariota. When Marcus was playing his best, it was when Delanie Walker was playing his best. I believe it was the Patriots game or something. He hit him for a deep touchdown. There was the Saints one that bounced off the defender's helmet. I'll always remember that one. But
Retro Bowl.
Delanie Walker was so important to Marcus Mariota. Hopefully Gunnar Helm can end up being tight end one at some point this season.
That's my Fireball Hot Take Friday take of the day on the Friday.
I love it.
Because it's Fireball Hot
Take. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is celebrating National Barbecue Month. Get a $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. Try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals right now while supplies last. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today. We'll wrap up our conversation on Titans rookie minicamp after this here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in for Jared today. Jared out of town for about a week, taking a little vacation. It'll be a mixed up schedule next week. I'll be on with Derek Mason 3 to 6 Monday and Tuesday, and then Adam Vingan 3 to 6 on Thursday, and then I think it's Rex Road and Kaharski on Wednesday from 3 to 6.
Cinema.
So
I can't wait for that.
Still going to have some fun afternoons. Hope you'll tune in. We're wrapping up our conversation here on Titans Rookie Minicamp. Starts today, and we will get more information tomorrow. But we did see on, I believe it was on SportsCenter, they showed Cam Ward coming out onto the practice field for the first time today. There's going to be overreactions. We started the show with this, that no matter what happens tomorrow, throwing on air, there's going to be overreactions to Cam Ward. If it's good, the people who already like Cam Ward are going to flip out and say he's bringing us a Super Bowl. If he's bad, the people who wanted to trade the first pick are going to say, see, we could have taken the Giants offer and gotten a huge haul. Instead, we have this guy. Just, you know, take a step back. It's 2 days in May.
Easy, big thing.
We've got 4 months until these teams take the field. We got a while to go. Don't need to overreact quite yet.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm saying this to just deaf ears because I know for a fact on Monday the text line is going to be full of, oh, did you see that throw Cam Ward had? It was a duck over the middle of the field. We should have taken the Giants pick and taken Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
We're going to get it.
Easy, Big Phil.
I don't know about that one, Chief. I would listen. If we're going to go that route, might as well just take Jackson Dart at that point. If you wanted the Giants pick, just take Jackson Dart.
Again, we talked about Joe Shane calling Mike Borgonzi. Clearly, they wanted Cam Ward bad. And I'm not saying the Giants are the model front office or model franchise, but if you have other teams offering up, it was what, 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a third to move up 2 spots, I think that's a pretty good endorsement of the guy that you're picking. That's all I'll say. But I'm excited to see Cam Ward tomorrow. I'm excited to see some of these videos. And again, we're not overreacting. The pads aren't on. Live bullets aren't flying. But I think it'll be cool just to see him get out there with some of his teammates and see if, you know, there's any rapport being built with some of these other pass catchers. We've talked about Helm and Iamanor and DK as well.
You're right. We have been talking about them. And I just want to see him just sling the ball down the field. Just sling it. I just want to see it. Because I feel like that's what's going to grab everybody's attention. If he connects with Restrepo on like a 60-yard toss, I'm fine with that. It just gives somebody, for me, for somebody that has changed their mind on wanting Abdul Carter as the number one overall pick, give me some reassurance.
I think it would be objectively hilarious if he throws a ball into like triple coverage and is just completed in the back of the end zone. And then he does the Spider-Man celly that Will Levis kept doing. I think that would be really funny.
The Cam Ward celebration doesn't work when you're trying to talk into a microphone like that. Cover up your mouth.
But I don't even know what it is.
I don't really understand it either. Cam needs to explain it a little bit.
I think we should have that at a press conference. As well as tomorrow, let's have Iomanor. Is that how you say it?
Iomanor.
Well, that
like
just
that.
Proves my point. Yeah, have him come up on the podium and just say his name.
Yes,
and
can
then
you please
leave.
Just say your name and we'll all get on the same page. I can get the tough ones like Nico Iamaliava. I got that quick. Yeah. Iomanor is tripping me up.
I thought it
bit.
Was Iamanor, which it's is just easier for me to say.
Where do you put the emphasis is the question. That's, I don't know.
So if you could call in, Alec, and let us know, so we greatly appreciate it.
The other one that's going to be difficult to pronounce is what, Femi Oladejo?
Oladejo.
His full, it's what, Oluwafemi Oladejo? Is that the full name?
Wow, that was
look
really
at you.
Good.
You're like a tourist.
See, I can get some of the tough ones, but Iomanor trips me up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just...
Yeah, I agree. We need him to say his name.
Please say your name.
That should be the first question.
And you can go.
Excited for rookie minicamp this weekend. Also exciting, coming up in less than an hour out in Knoxville, Game 1, Vanderbilt and Tennessee baseball. And we touched on it right off the top of the show, how important this series is. Like, these two teams, their resumes are neck and neck when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Vandy's metrics are a little bit better. Like, Vandy's way up there in the RPI. Tennessee isn't quite that far up, but Tennessee's got a couple of more wins. I think Tennessee's like 38-7. Vandy's 34-10. So Tennessee's got a few more wins. They're both 14-10 in the SEC. So this is a huge series when it comes to SEC seeding, NCAA tournament seeding, who's hosting. The team that comes out winning 2 or 3 of these games, I think, probably locks themselves into a top 8 seed where you guarantee yourself a chance to host all the way to Omaha. The loser, probably has to do a little bit more. You might have to make a little run in Hoover if you're going to get yourself into that top eight.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is my gut feeling, and maybe it's because I'm hungry, which Frazier says all the time. This series is going to come down to the wire, and we're going to have a rubber match on Sunday. It's going to happen. I just feel it. I just think it's going to happen.
Last year, we didn't get a rubber match at Hawkins. I believe Tennessee won the first two games. Mm-hmm. Vandy got a big win on day three that honestly probably was the difference on them getting into the tournament and keeping that NCAA tournament streak alive. This year, this Vandy team is better than last year's Vandy team. With the pitching, J.D. Thompson's looked unbelievable the last couple of weeks. We were talking with Andrew last Saturday about how he's got, what, 25 strikeouts in his last two home starts?
That's ridiculous.
He's got to do it in the launching pad that is Lindsey Nelson Stadium. But J.D. Thompson tonight, that's always a good thing for Vandy to have him on the bump. And Connor Fennell, he wasn't...
That's the key for me. He needs to have a bounce-back game this next game.
He was
game.
Not great against Alabama on Sunday, but they still won the game.
Mm-hmm.
They came from behind and won. But yeah, I agree. I think you're right. We're going to get a rubber match on Sunday, and I think Fennell's going to be the key. Can he keep the ball in the yard on Sunday and help Vandy get that series win?
That Alabama game the other day was the first time. I mean, we've been covering Vanderbilt all season. That Alabama game from Fennell on Sunday was the first time I felt like, yeah, this game's out of his control.
Right.
Like he's throwing this away. He has been lights out pitching all year until that last game. So it's a matter of, you know, can he recover? Can he get back to what he's supposed to be? I tend to think he can. He's too experienced and too talented not to, in my opinion.
Just like every Friday night game in the SEC, tonight is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the first game is so important because if you lose, simple math, if you lose game one, you have to win the next two games to win the series. So winning game one going to be crucial. J.D. Thompson going for Vandy. I haven't seen who Tennessee's starting pitcher is. Let me see.
SEC media is mind blown by that math you just did right there.
I know. I did that all in my head.
You can't believe that. I mean, that's unreal.
That's why we have them on.
Unheard of.
Two wins is bigger than one.
It's almost as crazy as, you know, a conference finishing 500 or something. It's never been done before.
I'm very intrigued about this Vandy-Tennessee matchup because, one, you mentioned it's a Cracker Jack box they're playing in. And having Tennessee out there as the second team in the SEC that I guess is – for on-base percentage, that is. Arkansas is basically over them. But slugging percentage, Tennessee leads the SEC, and that is just concerning on so many levels. Because y'all are talking about the pitcher here for Vanderbilt needs to really kind of dial in. I think for me, when it comes to pitching, you're going to have to hit your spots. If you miss one or two spots, I mean, there is zero room for error on the mound today.
Mm. Lefty Liam Doyle on the mound for Tennessee today. Doyle this season has a 2.39 ERA. He's 8-2 with how many strikeouts? Lots of strikeouts. 115 strikeouts. So
here's the thing. Vanderbilt pitching is going to have to be on it because Tennessee offense has been down lately. They have not been able to score runs at the capacity they usually are able to. So if Vanderbilt can get hot and heavy early, especially with J.D. Thompson on the mound, I think they can pull this one out. It may be low scoring, but I think if the pitching is on where it's supposed to be on, then they get the bats rolling a little bit in the launching pad that is Lindsey Nelson. I think they can get it done.
Huge series, huge game one coming up in just over 30 minutes from Knoxville, and we will lead you right up to Vanderbilt's pregame coverage starting at 4:15. One more segment for us. We'll continue to preview this huge matchup between the Vols and the Vandy boys. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt filling in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up the show, Stillman and Company brought to you by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in for Jared today, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Last call for texts and calls on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you have thoughts on this Tennessee Vandy series, we'd love to hear from you as we lead you right up to pregame coverage coming up at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30 from Knoxville as the Vols and Vandy boys do battle. We talked about how big of a series this is. lots on the line in terms of Hoover and maybe who ends up going to Omaha in about a month or so. What's it going to come down to? In my mind, I think it comes down to Vandy's offense. I think the pitching is good enough to keep them in games. Do we see some of the power hitters from Vandy step up? Brody Johnston, Braden Holcomb. I think if those guys hit a couple home runs each, Vandy's got a chance to take this series. But it is tough when Vandy's team isn't built for a park like that. Tennessee's team is. They're a power-hitting team. Vandy is more, you know, doubles. We're going to play defense. We're going to pitch, and we're going to try and win some games. Tennessee is, we're going to try and hit 8 home runs every game and see if we can beat you.
That's where I'll counter you. I think it comes down to Tennessee's offense. If Tennessee's offense becomes what they are capable of becoming in their own stadium, I think Tennessee might pull this one out. That's why I think Vanderbilt pitching has to be on it. J.D. Thompson has to be on it tonight because Tennessee is going to come in hot and heavy. It's a rivalry game with, you know, massive implications towards Omaha. Or not Omaha, but, you know, the playoffs.
But it could be towards Omaha. Like, there is a big difference in hosting a Super and going on the road in a Super.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are charged up environments on a home campus where you got to go take 2 of 3 from one of the best 16 teams in the country, one of the best 8 teams in the country. If you're the 10 seed, you got to go play the 7th best team in the nation on their home field and take 2 out of 3. But if you're the 8 seed, you get to get the 9th team coming to you. I think this series could be the difference for both these teams on whether they're top 8 or not.
To kind of, you know, round it around, pitching has to limit Tennessee as much as possible, and Vanderbilt's offense needs to get as many runs in as possible. Because I don't know if you know this, but whoever scores the most runs at the end of the game wins.
I did not.
Is that a
that.
Fact?
It's a testable theory. You know, concepts and theories are two different things. Concept, they're both frameworks of which I'm ranting about my class that I just got a C in. But can you see I learned
C's
things?
C's get degrees.
Hey, there I got the go. Hours. Can you see I learned things from school?
Yeah.
So smart. And just for context, last year, J.D. Thompson, we mentioned that Sunday game. Vandy salvaged the series, avoided the sweep at Hawkins Field, beating Tennessee 3-0 on Sunday. J.D. Thompson went 6 innings, gave up 2 hits, 3 walks, struck out 9 in that game. So it's a very different Tennessee lineup than last year.
Mm.
You're not seeing...
They're a lot younger.
Right. Christian Moore's not leading off at the top of that order anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But still a very talented Tennessee lineup, and, you know, it seemed like J.D. Thompson felt pretty comfortable against them last year.
Yeah, I mean, this year, I mean, Tennessee is ranking top 3 in every offensive category, minus doubles. They're ranked 8th in the SEC, but everything else, it's either 2nd, 1st, or 3rd. I mean, they're everywhere on this SEC chart here, and, I mean, if Vandy really wants to beat them defensively, I think you have to play your outfielders towards the warning track and maybe in the gaps.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asks, how likely is it that each team makes it to Omaha, win or lose this series? I think both of them have a decent chance, but
there's a possibility they run into each other.
Right. We mentioned that D1 Baseball's latest projection has Vandy as the 8, Tennessee as the 9, which would mean a collision course at Hawkins Field if both teams win their regionals. But winning a regional is tough.
Yeah.
And we saw that 2 years ago for Vandy. They hosted a regional and lost. Oregon moved on. So it's just because you host a regional doesn't mean you're going to win it. And if you win that one, again, you're playing probably a top 10 team in the country and have to win 2 out of 3 just to get to Omaha. So I wouldn't say it's like 50-50 for either of these teams, but I'd say both of them have a decent chance. I'd say, you know, 25 to 30% chance.
It's a really evenly matched matchup if you think about it. Like, whatever Vanderbilt lacks, it seems like Tennessee has, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to come down to the wire, I'm telling you.
And Vandy, with the metrics that they have, all the way up at the top in the RPI and all those advanced metrics, I think there was another metric that includes scoring margin that had Vandy as the best team in the country. I think that might be a little much, but I think Vandy's a top 10 team in this country, and a win on the road against your rival, the defending national champions, who are a top 15 team in the country, I think that would lock them in. If you get swept against Kentucky at home next week, maybe there's...
That ain't going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen. That could change things, but I think Vandy or Tennessee, whoever wins this series, feels pretty good about being a national seed. if you win this series this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'll add one more thing to this Vandy-Tennessee matchup. If Vandy really wants to hang in there with the big dogs of Tennessee, you got to play a little small ball. I mean, Tennessee, they rank, what, top three, top four in sacrifice bunts. And then you look at stolen bases, and they're up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, you got to really play some small ball. And Tim Corbin, he's been known to do that.
He loves
past.
It. He
and,
loves it.
And I think that's the best beauty point about baseball is that you can play small ball.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches don't want to do that anymore.
Manufacture runs.
Yeah.
See if Andy can do it tonight against Tennessee. Going to be a fun one. Game one out of three. Been fun hanging with you guys here on Friday. If you're out there and you like what you heard, we'll be back 9 to 11 a.m. tomorrow.
I was
going to
say, let's do it tomorrow.
Yes, we'll do it again tomorrow. Force Company from 9 to 11. David Reed, thanks for hanging out with us. It's been fun.
I had no choice, but.
Well, I will see you again on Monday. I'll be with Derek Mason Monday and Tuesday as Jared's on vacation. Enjoy Vandy and Tennessee coming up from Knoxville. Big game one. Andrew Allegretta will be on the call. Pre-game coverage coming up next here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See you.